You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio, where each and every week we are coming at you to talk about the Montreal Canadiens, keeping you informed, engaged, and entertained on all of the latest all summer long about your favorite NHL franchise. My name is Amy Johnson. I'm your host for today's show, episode 404 of the Canadiens Connection podcast. This week's show titled Success Creates a New Problem for the Montreal Canadiens. What could that be? We are going to get into it today. That is myself and my wonderful co-host, who is our founder and president of Rocket Sports, who's in the studio here with me today. His name is Rick Stevens. Rick, how are you doing today?
Doing well. Last week we promised that we would be here every week, every Saturday, summer long, and here we are. And we also promised that there would be news every week, and a lot of it as the Montreal Canadiens enter the off season and things start to happen. And things already started to happen. We had big news this week.
Lots of news. Lots and lots and lots of news that we have to cover with you. In fact, if you want to know what you can expect on today's show, we are first going to do our weekend review because, as Rick just said, a lot happened this week. There were a lot of announcements made this week, a lot of news coming out this week. We've got an updated prospect report for you because now, with the Memorial Cup over and whatnot, now we're starting to shift attention in terms of prospects to the draft because it's coming up in just a couple of weeks. So we've got some draft news to talk about in terms of prospects. We have some Laval Rocket news to talk about in terms of Habs prospects as well. And just a couple of general hockey notes for you from around the NHL. All of that is in our first segment. In our second segment, our big topic that we're tackling this week is replacing Pascal Vincent is more important to the Canadiens than you think. And newsflash, we are going to talk about this in multiple segments this week. But yes, if you didn't hear, the Laval Rocket head coach is no longer with the organization. Pascal Vincent moving on this week. We're going to tell you more about that soon. And in fact, we've got a very special guest joining us on the show in the second segment to talk to us about Pascal Vincent's sudden exit from the franchise. So you're not going to want to miss that at all. And we're also just going to kind of take a deep dive as to what the ripple effect of this news is, as well as expand on that show title for this week, Success Creates a New Problem for the Montreal Canadiens.
New problem, new opportunity, depending on how you look at it.
Definitely. So we're going to get into lots of nuanced kinds of things, but some very big news that's happening this week and a special guest coming. We don't want you to miss it. That's coming up in the second segment. Then in the third segment, of course, we'll have a Canadiens Connection question of the week for all of you to answer for us this week. And as we do every week, we pulled out the best responses to last week's question of the week, and we are going to read those best responses that we got for you.
We had some really good ones
this week. So we're glad that all of you are still eager to talk about the Canadians, because so are we. That's why we're here. If you do want to be sure that you are kept up to date on all of the Montreal Canadiens' latest news and development and happenings all summer long, make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. We will not be going anywhere. We will be here every week until training camp and then beyond. We're here 52 weeks of the year. So make sure you hit subscribe. If you're on YouTube, hit the notification bell as well so that you're always notified when we get a new episode out. And away we go. So this week, lots of news. In terms of the roster, what was the news there? Well, more awards, basically. On Friday, the NHL announced that forward Cole Caufield has been named to the NHL's second All-Star team for this season.
And as you said, the awards keep piling up. Cole Caufield, winner of the Lady Byng Memorial Trophy earlier. 88 points in 81 games this season, including 51 goals. That was ranked second in the NHL. So appropriately, he has been named to the second All-Star team.
Yes, he has. But the fun doesn't stop there. On Friday, the NHL also put out their selections for this year's NHL All-Rookie team. And so of the six players who make up the All-Rookie team, the Canadians have claimed to two of them. Ivan Demidov and Jakub Dobish both making this year's All-Rookie team.
Jakub Dobish, that's obvious. He led All-Rookie goaltenders in wins during the regular season and was spectacular, was the reason that the Canadians went as far as the Eastern Conference Final. Demidov, 62 points in 82 games, led all NHL rookies in points, assists, power play points, and power play assists.
Well, that's notable, that's so I bad. Think. Yeah. As we kind of previewed last week, sure enough, Canadiens prospect Alexander Zhirovsky arrived in Montreal this week. Remember, it was Ivan Demidov who, at his end of season exit interview press conference, mentioned that Zhirovsky was going to be coming. Was going to be coming to town to kind of get the lay of the land. I think he's going to stay with Demidov while he's here for a little bit. He's supposed to be doing some training. So he's arrived.
He has arrived, and no sooner did he arrive at the airport than a short time later, we saw him on Friday morning on the ice in Broussard, and he was training with none other than Paul Byron on Friday morning. He's going to be around for a bit. And then he'll head to Florida. He's got a busy summer ahead. There's the annual Gold Star Camp. His agent is Dan Milstein, runs the Gold Star Camp in Florida. That's June 20th to 24th. It features undrafted prospects as well as drafted prospects. And then Dan Milstein has confirmed that Zhirovsky will be at Canadiens Development Camp in July.
Fantastic.
You remember that he wasn't able to get the credentials to be there last season, so this will be it'll be good to get some eyeballs on him at Development Camp. And then he's back to Russia in about mid-July. And that's when training camps open across the KHL. As we know, he has 1 year left on his contract in the KHL.
Phew. Well, it's going to be a whirlwind summer for Zhirovsky, but hopefully a productive one as well. And of course, as we did mention, we're just briefly going to touch on the news portion of this right now. We're going to get into the analysis of it in the second segment. But yes, Laval Rocket head coach Pascal Vincent has left the Canadiens organization because he is now the new assistant coach of the Seattle Kraken.
And I think everybody who is watching this situation knew it was going to happen at some point. We talked about it last offseason. Pascal Vincent is superbly qualified. not only to be the Canadians were happy to have him in Laval, but he has assistant coach qualifications and will do a great job in Seattle. Jeff Gorton, the president of hockey operations for the Canadians, issued a statement, and the statement said, quote, "We would like to sincerely thank Pascal for his work and contribution to the Rocket. Wish him all best in his professional chapter in Seattle. He was highly committed to our success and made a valuable contribution over the past several years. Native of Laval, Pascal was greatly appreciated and respected by players, staff, members, and the fans. We are grateful for his dedication, leadership, and hard work during his time with the Rocket." And of course, his contributions went well beyond the Rocket to the Montreal Canadiens, and how he prepared players to be part of the Canadiens roster. The statement goes on, Jeff Gorton's statement goes on to say that that the search to fill the position has already begun, and the Canadiens won't be making any further comments at this time until they're ready to announce a successor.
Hmm. Intrigue this summer for the Montreal Canadiens. We'll
get back to that.
Yes, we're just gonna tap the pause button on that topic because we're gonna really put that under the microscope a bit in our big topic segment coming up in just a little bit here. First, however, let's talk about prospects in terms of the Montreal Canadiens.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media Team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
I did mention a moment ago that we are getting very close to draft time. That means that the mock drafts are getting updated. The Athletic, Scott Wheeler in particular with The Athletic, has his 2.0 version of his NHL mock draft for this year out.
And at number 28, Scott Wheeler has the Montreal Canadiens taken Adam Nemotny, a winger from Peterborough in the OHL. He says, "I'm not convinced Novotny gets here, but he'd fit as a future middle six winger who adds speed, strength, and secondary scoring." And then he couches things a bit and says, "The Canadiens could go in one of two directions here. Either they focus on physicality, and in that case, it could be Novotny, it could be Casey Mutrin, from the U.S. development program, could be Simon, oh my goodness.
Simas Ignatovicius.
Yeah, from the Swiss National League, or Ryder Cali from North Bay of the OHL. So that's if they prize physicality, or if it's hockey sense and skill that they're looking for, there's a player like Liam Ruck, Medicine Hat, in the WHL, and with Bryce Pickford being in Medicine Hat, you imagine they got quite a few viewings of Liam Ruck. So there's all kinds of options for you there, put out by Scott Wheeler. We'll be focusing more on the draft as we go along.
Definitely. Stay tuned. We'll be coming back to that topic next week again, be sure. In terms of Laval, it should be known that the AHL this week announced their top prospects team for 2025-26. That is, you know, so in the NHL, you get the first and second all-star teams for the year, and you also get the all-rookie team. Well, in the AHL, since it is a development league for the NHL, they name a top prospects team of who were the best of the NHL rights owned prospects playing in the AHL. Well, Adam Engstrom made their team this year.
Adam Engstrom, who played 45 games for regular season games for Laval. In those 45 games, he had 34 points on 10 goals, 24 assists, plus 14. And was a big part of why the Rocket finish first in the North this season. He was an all-star, and he led the AHL, all AHL defensemen with 5 game-winning goals. And he made his NHL debut this past season, played 15 games for the Canadiens, got his first point, his an assist, plus 2 rating. We're going to get Pascal Vincent's views on Adam Engstrom a little bit later. But again, this was, when we talk about this being a very successful season for the Montreal Canadiens, it was a successful season for the Montreal Canadiens organization. And in terms of individual honors, you've got, we just talked about the rookies in the NHL being named to the rookie team. We have Adam Engstrom. We've got a Lady Bing winner. We've got a Selke winner. We've got a defenseman who finished in the top 6 in Norris voting. 3 players got votes in the Hart, and we'll get to that in a minute. But it was a really successful season for the Montreal Canadiens. And they just got to keep that momentum going in the right direction.
Definitely. In the NHL, in case you haven't been following, the Carolina Hurricanes lead the Vegas Golden Knights 3-2 in the Stanley Cup Final. They keep battling back. It's now the best of 3 series. The cup will be in the building when they play their next game, because if Carolina can pull out another win, they will take the cup in 6. It's been a roller coaster of a series, but kudos to Carolina. They have found a way. They've dug deep.
Yeah, Vegas is a very good team, but yeah, Carolina has been great. This has been a great series, and I know the ratings in Canada are not that great, but certainly in the U.S., the ESPN coverage is getting very good ratings.
It's, yeah, like I think there's only one Stanley Cup final game or series that has had better ratings so far, which is great for the game of hockey. Like, that's what the NHL needs to see. Also, this week, the NHL continued trotting out their awards. The Hart Memorial Trophy was awarded this week to Tampa Bay Lightning right wing Nikita Kucherov.
Yeah, I don't particularly like Nikita Kucherov, but I understand the pick. What was more interesting for me was how close it was. Really close between Kucherov, Connor McDavid, and
Nathan McKinnon. Any of them could have taken it.
They gobbled up the absolute majority of all votes, and particularly the first place votes. Curiously, and we've had some someone reached out to us who said, "Do you know who gave Nick Suzuki a first place vote?" And yeah, we do know. And that's because the professional hockey writers put out...
they're very transparent.
Yeah, they're very transparent. They put out the ballots. And no, it was not a Montreal beat writer who cast a first place vote for Nick Suzuki. It was a beat writer that we know quite well from the Washington Capitals. Her name is Sammy Silber, and writes for the Hockey News, and we knew her there. Mm-hmm. And she put out on X her reasoning. She said she wants to be transparent. Yep, it was me that gave Nick Suzuki a first place vote, and said that, you know, Nick was just really valuable to the Montreal Canadiens. And of course he was. Of course he was, with his 100-point season. And she suggests that if Nick Suzuki wasn't there, didn't have the season that he had, that the Canadiens wouldn't have made the playoffs. I think she said she wouldn't have made the run in the playoffs.
Wow. Wow.
That they did. We can disagree all we want. But you know, I will agree that, and it was, you know, when we were doing our preseason predictions, I said, I just had this terrible feeling that, Nick Suzuki was going to miss some games.
Due to injury, Iron Man streak was going to come,
to an end. Yeah. He didn't. It didn't happen. And for that, I'm grateful. And, I was worried about that with, when we were making the predictions. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, the same could be said about, Connor McDavid. You know, the Edmonton Oilers don't play very well when Connor McDavid, doesn't score. I argue about that amongst yourselves. But at least there was transparency and nice tip of the cap that, Nick Suzuki got, fifth place in that voting.
Definitely. All right. Well, we are going to take a break here on Canadians Connection. We're going to send you over to hear a new message from our sponsors over at DraftKings, which I should mention, if you are a listener who is based in the United States, DraftKings is now available in all 50 states. It's pretty big news if you're interested in that type of thing. So new incentive for our listeners this week. So take a moment to check that out. And when we come back, we have a special guest joining us, and we are going to talk about how replacing Pascal Vincent is more important to the Canadians than you think. We'll explain why right after this. You are listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
It all comes down to this: a best of seven battle. And DraftKings has you covered every step of the way. The DraftKings Sports app is now available in all 50 states and includes all markets. So sweat every shift of the series, all in one place with one app. New DraftKings customers sign up with code THPN, spend $5 to get $200 in rewards within 21 days. That's code THPN in partnership with DraftKings. The crown is yours. Bet with DK Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 1-800-MY-RESET. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY. Text HOPE-NY. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777. Visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, bet tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21+. Void in Ontario. Event contract trading with DraftKings predictions involves risk of loss. Sportsbook bonus bets expire in 7 days. $50 in predictions dollars issued weekly for 3 weeks expire in 1 year. Redeem one non-withdrawable reward. Availability varies. Ends June 28th. Terms at dkng.co/audio.
And welcome back to the Canadians Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, my name, of course, is Amy Johnson, and I'm here in the studio with our president and founder at Rocket Sports, Rick Stevens. For social media, if you are on X, you can follow me at Flyers Rule. You can follow Rick at Rocket Sports. That's the one you definitely want to follow. That is our main hub for all of the content that we put out. And you can also follow this podcast in particular at Habs Connection, not only on X, but also on Facebook and Instagram as well, at Habs Connection. And as I mentioned a few minutes ago, if you haven't done so already, don't forget it. Subscribe to the podcast. It's as the summer wears on, your options for Canadians news out there are going to get slimmer and slimmer. But you can always count on us being here. We will be here with a full show every week. There is always a lot to talk about. We have some great guests coming up throughout the summer. All the things you don't want to miss. So tap subscribe either on your favorite podcast platform or, if you want, over on YouTube, which is you can find us over on YouTube at insidethecanadians.com. That's all. That's the website you go to, insidethecanadians.com. You know, one of the challenges for a rebuilding team is, figuring out when the rebuild is actually over. And we hear you. We read social media. We see how many people, fans out there, want to, well, even some mainstream media folks want to, you know, pound the table that, okay, this was great, this was successful, rebuild's over. The Canadiens are kind of somewhere in the transition right now. Yes, the Habs brought plenty of excitement in the postseason. They got really far, went really deep. But it's not quite time to bid farewell to the world, to the word rebuild. Now is just the time when teams like the position that Montreal's in, it's when they have to dig their heels in. They have to stick to that plan and not get distracted by, oh, we suddenly want immediate results because we came so close and now we can just taste it and we want it and we want to just, okay, to heck with the rest of the plan. We had a few years of the rebuild. Now let's just do what we got to do. So after an appearance in the Eastern Conference Final, it's really easy to focus on what happens next at the NHL level for the Canadiens organization. You know, who's going to be added to the roster? Are there any prospects who are ready to make the jump? How much better can this team get over the next year or two? And all of that is valid. All of that is exciting. And that's stuff we're going to talk about for sure. But the one thing that really can't get lost in all of that excitement is the D word, development. Because as the Canadiens get closer and closer to being a perennial Stanley Cup contender, they're actually going to have to rely more and more heavily on their young players who are coming through the system. The next wave of contributors, of role players, impact players, they are still developing in Laval or will be arriving there soon. And so that's what makes this sudden departure of Pascal Vincent this week such an important story for the Habs right now. Replacing the head coach of the Laval Rocket isn't just filling a vacancy. They have to take this as protecting one of the most important parts of the organization's future. That's what Pascal Vincent did for the last 2 years. When you combine that with the fact that the Canadiens are still looking to fully address coaching structure at the NHL level, something that we've kind of talked about a little bit in the last couple of weeks, now that really starts to raise some interesting questions about where development organization-wide fits into the next phase of this team's evolution. That sounds like a lot, I know. We are going to break it all down. So before we dive into all of that, however, we first want to welcome in a special guest to talk about this week's surprising news, and that is the sudden departure of Pascal Vincent for greener NHL pastures. Well, friends, it is such a special day here for us on Canadiens Connection because finally, after much too long of an absence, we are so thrilled to welcome back into his very special, very own reserved guest chair here on the show, our dear friend and Rocket Sports team member, colleague, and the guy who we call the AHL guru because he knows everything there is to know inside and out about the American Hockey League. And he is the one and only Patrick Williams. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you. Good to be back. Thank you.
The Angels are welcoming Patrick back. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And if you're not familiar with Patrick Williams and his body of work, well, allow us to remedy that for you. Patrick is widely known as one of, if not the top expert on the AHL. He has been for years. He is a featured writer of the AHL on NHL.com, on the AHL's official website, as well as on Flow Hockey, which is where, of course, you can watch all AHL games now. And we are also very proud to call him a teammate here at Rocket Sports as well. Patrick, thank you so much for being back on the show. It's been far too long. But we also know that you haven't been resting on your laurels this summer because you are already knee deep in the Calder Cup final, which just started this week. The Toronto Marlies, who if our listeners can think back, are the ones who ousted the Laval Rocket from playoff contention from the playoffs this year. Well, Toronto has made it all the way to the final. They are up 1-0 in their best of seven series over the Chicago Wolves. And we imagine that you are busier than ever getting all of that covered.
Yeah, you know, the irony is that in the, you know, kind of the thick of the summer almost, at least unofficially, that's when hockey is often the busiest, right? So we're in the finals now. I guess you can sort of see the finish line in the near horizon. And before you know it, you know, we'll be right into the next season. It's only 3.5 months away now.
Time flies. It really does on the hockey calendar. Now, of course, the reason that Laval is kind of top headline for us here on the show this week is because we all got the very, very, very sudden and unexpected news that Pascal Vincent was moving on from the organization. As we mentioned in the first segment on the show today, that he has taken an assistant coaching position with an NHL club. But before we get to, and we certainly, there's a lot that we'd like to discuss with you about Pascal and the head coaching position in Laval. Before we get there, though, let's just kind of take a look back from your perspective. And what can you tell us in kind of that 30,000 foot view about the Laval Rockets season this year, both its regular season and its, albeit short, appearance in the postseason this year?
Yeah, another really solid, really strong regular season, both in terms of, I think, developing players, but also doing so within a winning environment and giving the fans wins, which is no small part of this whole business. But definitely, I think, a playoff letdown. They came in and they were going pretty well coming out of the regular season. They have a long break, which is not ideal. They bump right into the Toronto Marlies, who, as we know, as you've said, who have since gone on to the Calder Cup final. And the Rocket, after, you know, at least after game one, and, you know, with a little bit of spurts here and there, never quite looked themselves after that. And it was a rather ignominious exit for a team that had gone all the way to Eastern Conference Final last year. So in that regard, a little bit of a setback.
So I when we're talking about Pascal Vincent, someone you know really quite well, going back to the Winnipeg days, he kind of fell into the Canadiens' lap after the late exit. Jaffa was re-signed and then ended up back at his alma mater. And so late in the season, the Canadiens looking for a head coach for Laval. They got one who had a lot of experience, both in the NHL, the AHL. And when Pascal Vincent came on the scene, he sounded a little different from the previous coaches, and he was asked in his very first interview, what is your goal with the Laval Rocket? And he said, and I was cheering from the mountaintops, he said, my goal is to help the Montreal Canadiens win the Stanley Cup. And that was fascinating. And he talked about the vets being the support staff. And if you want to be a vet here, don't be expecting a call up. You're the support staff. Prospects, we want to get called up, but we're going to have a playoff atmosphere. And you mentioned it earlier that balancing that development with winning and very successful over two seasons, you know, winning two division championships.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's very difficult, as we've seen with other operations around the NHL, at the AHL level, to develop your prospects properly within a losing environment for two reasons. One is it's a 6.5 month regular season. You know, if you're not a competitive team, if you're not playing meaningful games down the stretch, and if you're just piling up losses in general. Like it just is not an environment conducive to any sort of growth or development. And then the second aspect is winning teams get to go deep into the playoffs. You look at the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins this year, very young team, youngest team in the league. A team that 3 years ago had little to no prospects. And now is really, you know, through some strong drafting, also some good free agent signings, have really kind of replenished that whole pipeline and got all the way down to game six of the Eastern Conference Finals. So those players got, you know, really, you know, an extra 6-7 weeks of playoff style hockey, pressure, intensity, facing different types of opponents. So that's where the whole winning component comes in. And of course, also, you're trying to sell tickets. I mean, one of the reasons Place Belle is filled most nights is because you have a competitive team. You have to give the fans something to cheer for, and development's great in that regard. But let's be honest, fans come to be entertained, and if you're not winning, you're probably not entertaining. So Pascal was able to really kind of blend all those different competing agendas and objectives and really pull it all together. I thought he came in and really just completely gave the whole operation a real NHL style polish to it. I think it's definitely a significant loss for the entire Habs, from the NHL roster on down, because I mean, as we saw, you really do lean on that pipeline, you know, in those, you know, dog days of the regular season and even, you know, well into the playoffs sometimes.
Yeah, that's right. And to understand maybe a little bit better what the Montreal Canadiens might be looking for when they look to fill that vacancy, to understand more about Pascal Vincent, you have to go back and you know, where did he learn his coaching style? You talked about him bringing kind of an NHL style to the Laval Rocket. He was a student under Paul Maurice. Paul Maurice, Pascal Vincent said that Paul Maurice would always welcome diverse views. And he's going to Seattle, where Lane Lambert is the head coach. Lane Lambert learned under Barry Trotz and that very that strong defensive structure, and they're bringing in Pascal Vincent, who has more of a leaning towards the offense and the power play, and so that they each have their skill set. And of course, there's another Winnipeg connection in Seattle with Jason Botterill as the GM. Wondered if you could listen to this. It's a little longer clip than we usually play, approaching 2 minutes, but it's a recent interview that Pascal Vincent did, and he talked about his style as a coach and welcoming diverse perspectives, and then we'll give you a chance to comment on it.
Well, I'm coming from the Paul Maurice school. And what I know and what worked really good for me over the years, my years in Cape Breton, Montreal Juniors, I brought in Dom Ducharme and Joel Bouchard. I want different views. I want different skills.
Makes for great conversations, huh?
Well, yeah, but you have to be comfortable with adversity, and you have to be comfortable with confrontations. And sometimes, no, I want to turn right. No, I want to turn left. And good arguments on both sides, but we grow as a team. Now, I believe you can be truly honest with your staff, and as part of a staff, really saying what you truly believe. But there's a way to do it in a respectful manner, and that's the key. Because we work together all the time. It can get ugly at times, Tony. It can get intense at times. If it's done in a respectful manner, it's well done. And with Paul Paul was always asking questions. So, well, what do you think? What do you think about this? The first question he asked me is Dustin Byfuglien, is he a forward or D-man back then? Right. And so we exchanged on this. And I believe that in order, you can be good if you all think the same. But I think you can be great if you have different skills. The key for me is fight in private, be aligned in public. So once public being the players, once you get in the room, you have to be aligned. Because if a coach says, and I've lived it, not going to say names, I'm not going to tell you where, but I've lived it. When a coaching staff is not aligned, you can fight in private, but if you're not aligned in public in front of the room with the players, it's a recipe for disaster.
So very interesting response, talking about the way he approaches coaching. And you know him, you know Paul Maurice. Can you just talk about that style and how it fits to the job that's in front of the next AHL coach in Laval?
Yeah, that sounds like Pascal to a T, right? Like that's Pascal 15 years ago coming in as an assistant coach with the Jets. First NHL opportunity at the time, learning, you know, and I think it's important to point out, like when he came in there, that was a pretty dysfunctional bunch, I think, as we all know. And, you know, there was a lot of remnants from the time in Atlanta. There were a lot of, call them strong personalities in that room. So Pascal was able to really learn kind of, you know, see the good and the bad of how things should be run and all those different challenges that crop up. And then he took that on to the Moose, did a fantastic job there, moved on to Columbus, had two different roles there, and then was able to bring all that knowledge. You know, this is somebody now that's worked in the Q, in the AHL, the NHL, you know, all kinds of different roles, bring that all into Laval, kind of synthesize all that knowledge that he's acquired over years and years and years and decades, and really sort of balance all those competing personalities that you get at this level in the AHL. You get the 20-year-old prospects that come in and they think they should be in the NHL right now. You also get the 20-year-olds that are coming in and they're completely overwhelmed and afraid and completely lacking in confidence. You get the older veterans, which they had a good group while he was there. And veterans are always a tricky element in this league, just in terms of what they're trying to do, where they are in their careers. It's not always development at the forefront of their minds. So as a head coach at this level, and certainly as a head coach in Laval, where you do have so much scrutiny and attention that most coaches in this league don't have to deal with, Pascal was able to really come in there and kind of corral everything and you know, get it, everybody kind of pulling in the same direction. And I thought he did a fantastic job there in his 2 years.
Yeah, we do too. Now, as far as a replacement, the Canadians will have some time to do that. There's been a lot of suggestions about coaches from the Q, who we'll leave that aside. They would have their own merits, but you had mentioned the tricky balance between dealing with veterans and prospects that they would have no experience with in junior hockey. So if we can focus on some candidates that you know of with AHL experience, and the ones that come to mind for me immediately are Daniel Jacob, who's the assistant in Laval for two tours, I guess, and Benoit Gruel, who we know, and his background in Syracuse, and then more recently in the KHL, maybe a name that a lot of people don't know about, and that's Stéphane Julien, who's with the Grand Rapids Griffins. So if you want to talk about those folks, and if you have any others, feel free to toss their hats in as well.
Yeah, well, let's start with Jacob. Certainly, obviously, in terms of if you're moving him up to that top role, probably the easiest move in terms of consistency and familiarity with what Pascal built there the last couple of years. Certainly a lot of experience for Daniel Jacob as well. He's worked under different coaches, so that's a big element as well. So that's Jacob. Second one is Ben. Ben was over in the KHL for a portion of this past season. Left what I would say was a very dysfunctional environment through no fault of his own. That was just a whole lot of, I mean, the KHL is a whole different beast altogether for coaches. And, so that's a very different type of job from being in the AHL, that's for sure. But somebody who had a tremendous amount of success for the better part of almost a decade with the Syracuse Crunch. Certainly a team familiar to Laval fans being in the same division and being rivals and playoff opponents at different points. Ben is intense. Ben is in some ways a lot like Pascal Vincent, very, very detail oriented. Some players love Ben, right? Like, and Ben, he has sent a lot of players onto the NHL. He's certainly improved players. I think even the players that maybe would sort of bristle at, at that level of detail would, have to admit that he made their games better. It's just that, players don't always like being told what to do and don't always like being corrected. So that's certainly a, an element of his game. And then the last one is Stefan Julien. He was coaching the Q for a while. And then he's transitioned over, to Grand Rapids as an assistant there. So he's been able to learn in a really good environment there, working for Dan Watson, Grand Rapids Western Conference champion in the regular season this year. Julien had a ton of success in the Q, had some Hockey Canada experience as well. So you couldn't really go wrong, I don't think, with any of those three candidates that that you mentioned. They all, I think, bring different strengths, but all certainly, if you announced one of them as your new head coach, I don't think you would get any sort of, skepticism or anything of that nature about why you decided to go that path.
Well, I don't think that we can disagree with you when we say that Seattle's gain is Montreal and Laval's loss in the departure of Pascal Vincent. I think that his presence is going to be sorely missed, although it should come to no surprise that an NHL team has snapped him up as soon as they could. Because of the quality of talents that he brings to that role. It sounds like it's going to be an interesting summer for Laval. Once we'll see how long this process takes them, if they make a decision, as you say, right away and just decide to promote Daniel Jacob, or if they actually go through a more intense search. But once a decision has been made, we'll certainly need to have you back to talk about that, because that will have clarity on the situation. And then we can perhaps prognosticate a little bit about how that's all going to go. If you are not doing so already, we want you to be sure that you are following Patrick on social media over on X, because not only will he have terrific coverage of the Calder Cup final that's going on right now, but he is a terrific resource for Laval Rocket Insight all season long as well. So be sure you are following him at P. Williams AHL. Again, that's at P. Williams AHL. And Patrick, we just have a blast every time we get to talk to you. And we can't thank you enough for taking some time out of what is, I'm sure, a very busy schedule right now to come on and chat with us and our listeners about the Laval Rocket.
Always a pleasure. Always fun to talk Rocket and certainly to talk about Pascal Vincent, I just wanted to echo that, I thought he's certainly going to be missed. He brought a lot of class wherever he goes. And, I think he'll do a fantastic job in Seattle.
It has been entirely too long since we have had Patrick on the show. He is just a wealth of knowledge and perspective. He's like a walking pub quiz about the American Hockey League. If you ask him a question, he's going to know the answer. Great insight. Thank you again, Patrick, so much for joining us. We will have you back soon, we promise. That was a great summarization of why Pascal Vincent was so valuable for the two seasons that the Montreal Canadiens had him employed in Laval. But you can also look at that as it's also why it's devastating that they've let him slip through their fingers and he is no longer with the organization. And now there is a big hole to fill.
There is. And I've been a little bit disappointed what I've heard from some in the Montreal media we thank Pascal Vincent. He did a great job for the 2 years of the rebuild. He worked with the important prospects, but that job's done now, and Laval is less important because the Canadiens, of course, are not drafting as high as they once did because of their success. And listen, I heard this argued that this Laval head coach replacement is essentially a throwaway appointment. You can use that to achieve a tertiary organizational objective. And now the Laval was once used to develop player prospects. Now it should be used to develop coaching prospects to stock the NHL with French-speaking coaches. And going further and saying, Kapanen and Engstrom, they're good prospects and that Pascal Vincent did a good job with them, but now they're trade bait and it's missing the point that to be a perennial contender, you need a really strong AHL affiliate. You really do. Mm-hmm. Because contracts grow and you've seen it before. A team wins the Stanley Cup and then can't keep that group together. And then they have to fill from elsewhere. And listen, don't take my word for it. Let's just look as a prime example, the Carolina Hurricanes, who have been knocking at the door for a bit. And now are in the Stanley Cup final and now are on the edge of maybe a Stanley Cup win. Have they forgotten about their AHL affiliate?
No.
No. In case you don't know, we just were talking about the Calder Cup final, which features the Toronto Marlies, pretty obvious who their NHL club is. Chicago Wolves are the AHL affiliate of the Carolina Hurricanes, and they are in the Calder Cup final.
So the NHL club and the AHL club are both in their league final.
Patrick Williams, who we just talked to, he's got a great article out on theahl.com, and it begins, if it's June, chances are good that Carolina Hurricanes prospects are chasing down the Calder Cup. So they realize that how important it is to maintain that prospect pipeline, and they've got some strong prospects. Maybe you haven't heard of some of them. Patrick in his article talks about Felix Unger Sorum, who led the club in scoring in the regular season. He's been out the last few games. Due to injury, but filling in and providing the offense Ryan Suzuki. Yes, that Ryan Suzuki, brother of Nick. Justin Robida. Yes, that Robida, son of Stefan. Maybe here's other familiar names. Skylar Brindamore. Boy, there's a familiar name. Caden Bremo has been involved, although he got injured in game five of the Western Conference semifinal, but they had another goaltender come in and perform. It's absolutely crucial, to continue that pipeline and the Laval Rocket and that coaching position are more important than ever before. And that's why it can't be simply that the Laval Rocket has served its perfect, the rebuild's over and the Rocket have served their purpose. And
Player development.
You can take a flyer on an unknown coach from a junior coach from the Q. We talked about it with Patrick. There are some things that happen in the AHL. Certainly the rotating roster, your roster is always getting rated. The fact that you're dealing with prospects and veterans, and the fact that you have to balance development and winning, and that isn't, those aren't things that you have to face necessarily in the CHL. So it would be nice to have someone, and obviously Pascal Vincent had a lot of experience and really serious coaching qualities that helped the Montreal Canadiens organization, not just the Laval Rocket.
Absolutely. You know, we have it. What's interesting is, and we're going to play another clip for you from Pascal Vincent here in just a second, because it's interesting. Laval was ousted from pretty early in the playoffs by Toronto. And I'm sure Pascal Vincent has enjoyed some downtime a little bit over the last month or so. But he's not on summer vacation. He is a coach who is constantly thinking, how is the game evolving? How is the game changing? How can I coach my players better to have them better prepared to be the kind of players they need to be to help win a Stanley Cup? That's the kind of critical thinking and curiosity and drive to constantly evolve and improve that a good head coach should have. It's very interesting. And you know, if you've listened to this podcast, even just during the playoff run, you know that there were things that we complimented Marty St. Louis on doing, but there were also some things that we were critical of for Marty St. Louis, in terms of decisions that he made or things that he didn't seem to be able to recognize that needed to be changed. Kind of with that in mind, listen to what Pascal Vincent currently, this summer, is working on.
I'm studying right now what if there's a link between the last five Stanley Cup winners in the NHL and it's pro hockey. And number one is attacking the net front and defending the net front. So that's number one. Regardless of the style of the team that won the cup, Florida is different than Colorado, and Colorado is different than Tampa. I mean, all those Vegas, but there's certain things that needs to happen in order to win. And winning the net fronts at both ends is number one. Number two is key saves at key times.
Gee.
This was fascinating in the recent interview. And it was interesting that the host of that particular podcast, it went completely over his head. He didn't inquire any further. But I found it really, really fascinating. And this is the coach that you have to replace. Yeah. This is the guy that was successful because he is that kind of coach. And you know that you've heard the talk before. You look at previous Stanley Cup winners, It's said that the NHL is a copycat league. And there's kind of a knee-jerk, oh, well, X team was bigger. They won the Stanley Cup, so we need to get bigger. That's pretty simplistic. Because maybe that doesn't fit your style. And Pascal Vincent is saying, regardless of the style, maybe it depends on something different. Maybe it depends on how you attack the net front in the offensive zone and the way you defend the net front in the defensive zone. And he's looking for a link. He's looking for a correlation. And he's doing a deep bit of analysis there. And it just shows that he's a deep thinker. And even as an AHL coach, as an AHL head coach, he was intensely focused on winning the Stanley Cup, on being part of an organization that won the Stanley Cup. So I think that his opinion matters a lot. And so when he talks about the prospects that are in Laval, are ready to graduate from Laval, are coming to Laval, I think his word should carry a pretty hefty weight.
And I think before we focus on those prospects and who he really sees as the top prospects that he was coaching in Laval, I think it should be stated, at least for me, I won't speak for you, but it is that kind of critical thinking, that kind of observational thinking, and that kind of commitment to the cup and improvement and being aware of what is happening that makes it so devastating that the Canadians let him slip through their fingers and they didn't promote him to an assistant coaching position in their own organization in the NHL.
And let's
it
try
was to, a big missed opportunity.
That's right. Let's try to explain that a bit, at least make some assumptions about why they didn't. The Canadians have had a long time to think about this. We talked about last year at this time in the off season that Pascal Vincent, you better do something or you're going to lose him.
Yeah.
And Pascal Vincent said that he had interviews, wasn't the right opportunity, didn't want to leave the organization after a year. And so that gave a year grace period for the Canadians to come up with a strategy to fit him into the organization or to develop replacements. They've had a long time to work on this. So I think it's pretty obvious that they decided that as talented as he is, as accomplished as he is, he wasn't the right fit with Marty St. Louis. Now, why would that be? Well, we heard in the clip when Patrick was on how Pascal Vincent, he comes from the school of Paul Maurice. He likes diverse opinions. He likes people to challenge the coaching staff to challenge each other. He likes them to have their own kind of expertise and speciality. And going to Seattle, he's going to have that. Lane Lambert, specialist in terms of defensive structure. And Pascal Vincent will be the counterpart on the offensive side.
I'm going to interject there and just point out one thing that he said in that clip that we played in case people missed it. He said, I think that you can be good. You can be a good team if you all think the same. But I think you can be great if you all come at it from different angles.
That's right. Now, to be direct, Marty St. Louis is a hands-on guy. He likes to take control of everything. He sets the tone. He sets the direction, and his assistants follow. Do they have discussions? I'm sure they do, particularly about goaltending, because Marty has admitted that's not his bag. And Marco Marciano played a big role there. And we know that came to even in the playoffs, we saw that. But as far as having, you know, real intense discussions, you heard Pascal Vincent say, hey, it can get intense. It can get confrontational, and you have to be comfortable with that as long as you're respective. I don't think that's Marty's way. And I don't think the two necessarily would have meshed very well. Marty's not a fan of dissent or diversity of perspectives, and is reluctant to delegate. So maybe that gives us our answer about why this wasn't going to work out for Pascal Vincent staying within the organization as an assistant head coach. And we have to be fine with that. But that doesn't mean that all of these characteristics that he has aren't valuable to have for the replacement.
That's right. When talking at the end of the season about his group of players that he coached this year, as Rick said, you know, you should listen to Pascal Vincent's opinion about his prospects, because he is very astute observationally. He understands these players inside and out, and he has a mind that's focused on winning a Stanley Cup. And so when he recommends, I think these prospects are ready for the NHL, I think these prospects need more time in the AHL, he is making those statements with the thought in mind of how it would affect achieving a Stanley Cup.
That's right. So he's very honest and he's very direct in public and with his players. And he was very direct, saying that Adam Engstrom and Owen Beck were the best D prospect and the best forward prospect, respectively. And it wasn't even close, that Adam Engstrom is his, in his mind, the most NHL ready, prospect, and that the two of them, had they been in any other organization, would already be playing in the NHL. And he doesn't see, any purpose in Beck or Engstrom playing any more in the AHL. With respect to Owen Beck, Pascal Vincent said that Beck made huge strides this year. He said that physically he's ready. He's excellent skater, both in speed and the power that he generates. He's physical. We saw that when he came up for his call up. He's strong. He's good defensively. He kills plays. He's a player, and the Canadians, we know they need more of these guys who will attack the net. He's super smart, one of the smartest players. Pascal Vincent said he really enjoyed working with him. And similarly for Adam Engstrom, as I said, he really likes Adam Engstrom. And considers him his best defenseman and certainly ready for the NHL. So if you include those about prospects that Pascal had a hand in delivering to the NHL, you'd have to include Jacob Fowler. And of course, that would involve Marco Marciano as well. Jakub Dobish, of course, who Pascal talked about calling him into his office and helping with his confidence. Jaden Struble was with Laval for a couple games when Pascal Vincent was there. And Oliver Kapanen was there for their playoff run last year. Mm-hmm. So that makes us look ahead to the next set of prospects.
Definitely. In terms of, okay, we're talking about how replacing Pascal Vincent is a critical hire for the Canadiens. As Rick said, it's not a throwaway position. It's not a, well, let's find someone that we just really like for this very narrow scope. No, this has to be someone who is going to continue to develop prospects at the level or as close to the level that Pascal Vincent was able to do it for the last 2 years. And when we say that, you might be thinking, okay, but all right, it's June. I'm not thinking about Laval. What prospects is this new coach going to be dealing with? Is it someone that are they prospects that even really have a shot, you know, Well, yeah. Who's going to be in Laval next season? Which key prospects are in Laval next season who will be under the tutelage of a new head coach?
Now, I'm going to mention a name and don't freak out. David Reinbacher. You're saying, no, he's going to be in Montreal. He
no,
needs
not.
To be in Montreal. And listen, I think the Montreal Canadiens are going to give David Reinbacher every opportunity and probably will bend over backwards to see if he can earn a place
in training camp.
During training camp on the Canadiens roster. But Pascal Vincent said he's not quite ready. He lost two seasons. He just hasn't played enough games, and it would be important for him to play more games at the AHL level in that 1-2 slot for the Laval Rocket to get more experience. He looked good at times during the year, and you know the injury on and off, but he just needs to play more. He just needs more experience. That's coming from the head coach who knows him best.
There will also be three prospects who you're quite familiar with who have been working and working and working and are getting really close. They're going to need good guidance in order if they're going to make that jump. And we're talking about Florian Jacky, Luke Tuck, and Tyler Thorpe.
A lot's been made about the Canadiens having far too many fourth liners, bottom sixers, and expensive ones at that.
Who don't do much.
And that don't provide the energy, the consistent energy, and the physicality that other teams' fourth lines provide. And many have said, what about Florian Jacky, Tuck, Tyler Thorpe, the Bash Brothers, as they've been called, mm-hmm. big. They've got some speed. They've got some physicality. They won't back down. They'll forecheck hard. Well, that's if you want an energy line, and they may not be quite ready for the NHL just yet. Pascal Vincent said that he loves Florian Jacky. He's unique. He's a unicorn. Kind of brought up in the same breath as Florian Jacky, Dustin Byfuglien's name, which that's pretty high praise. But you could tell the way he talked could probably use some more time in the AHL. So the new head coach is going to have those important prospects to work with and to prepare for the NHL.
Those are the four top prospects who are already there and are going to need that guidance to get them to the next step. But who is coming? There's some important names who are coming that are going to start their pro hockey journey, and that is a crucial time for their development as well.
We saw Luke Mittelstadt join once his college season was over on defense and was, I think, turned some heads. He was very good. Vincent Rohr, again, a late season player who joined the Laval Rocket. I don't think we really know what we're going to get from those players yet, mm-hmm. and it would be important for a head coach to determine that. Bryce Pickford, everybody, we talked about it nonstop, what Bryce Pickford did in the WHL last season. He'll mm-hmm. be arriving. He'll need some time to adjust to the pro leagues. Will there be any others? You know, I throw out the name Hayden Papanakis. He's a 19-year-old. Will he go back to junior? But we know that teams can now add one 19-year-old to their NHL squads under that new rule.
To their AHL squads.
To their AHL squads. Right. Now, he doesn't have an ELC at this point, but, you know, that could happen over the summer. But, you know, I'm just making the point that there are other names that might arrive this summer and that are going to continue to arrive mm-hmm. And that are important to the pipeline of the Montreal Canadiens, and in keeping them as a team that needs to improve. We heard Jeff Gorton talk about they will definitely improve the defense. So who's that going to include? Is it going to include someone from elsewhere? Is it going to include Adam Engstrom? Lots been made of the fact that he's a left shot defenseman, but he really excels at playing on the right side, so he could be a help there. Or at some point, can David Reinbacher be a help?
It's a lot. It's a lot to take into consideration. The rebuild is not over. They made a big step this year. They made a huge step this year. But you heard Jeff Gorton himself say, we still need to improve in all areas. There is still a lot of improvement to make. Well, that means that there's still a lot of rebuilding to be had. Development is going to play an even more crucial role. It was crucial in the first half of the rebuild that they had developed the right prospects and developed the young core. Now that that has happened, they need to continue that trend of continuing to develop their prospects at the highest level they possibly can in the AHL so that they are ready to fill in at a moment's notice if, like Carolina, is battling in the Stanley Cup final and their AHL affiliate is battling in the Calder Cup final. But who knows? I mean, they recalled their goaltender the other night just in case. Mm-hmm. They sent him back before game one of the Calder Cup final. Can you imagine? Like, that would have been devastating for the Chicago Wolves had he not been sent back for game one. But that's how important that AHL roster and your top prospects down there are going to be if you are going to get to the Stanley Cup.
Well, the organizational depth. And you mentioned goaltending. We saw Freddie Anderson. The question is he injured? Do they just not want to play it? What's going on there? And at the same time, they're hit by injury to their starting AHL goaltender in Caden Primo.
That's
but
right.
They have the organizational depth to move some pieces around and cover about two important finals in two different leagues.
That's right.
That's what you want the Montreal Canadiens to do. So if we haven't hammered it home enough, let me do it just one more time. The appointment of the head coach in the Laval Rocket impacts the Montreal Canadiens. It's not just a Laval story.
It is not, and it is very, very important to their hopes for a Stanley Cup in the near future. So for this week's Canadiens Connection question of the week, here's what we're asking you. We want you to reply to us and let us know which Canadiens prospects currently developing in Laval would you like to see crack the Habs opening night lineup come October? Which Canadiens prospects currently developing in Laval would you like to see crack the Habs opening night lineup? You can text us your answer at our Rocket Sports text line. That's 5853-ROCKET, 5853-ROCKET. You can leave a comment on this episode on Spotify if that's how you're listening. You can leave a comment on this episode on YouTube if that's how you're listening. Or you can hit us up on social media. Just reply or DM at Habs Connection. That's on X, on Facebook, or on Instagram, at Habs Connection. However you do it, just get your responses in. We can't wait to see what you think. If you agree with one of the ones that we've listed tonight, maybe you have a different idea. We're going to read your best answers next week on the show. And in fact, we're going to take our second break here on Canadiens Connection, bring you a message from our sponsors over at DraftKings. And on the other side, we've got some great responses to your Canadiens Connection question of the week from last week's show that we can't wait to bring you. So stay with us. You are listening to the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
It all comes down to this, a best of seven battle. And DraftKings has you covered every step of the way. The DraftKings Sports app is now available in all 50 states and includes all markets. So sweat every shift of the series, all in one place with one app. New DraftKings customers sign up with code THPN, spend $5 to get $200 in rewards within 21 days. That's code THPN in partnership with DraftKings. The crown is yours. Bet with DK Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 1-800-MY-RESET. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY. Text HOPE-NY. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777. Visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, bet tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 plus. Void in Ontario. Event contract trading with DraftKings predictions involves risk of loss. Sportsbook bonus bets expire in 7 days. $50 in predictions dollars issued weekly for 3 weeks expire in 1 year. Redeem one non-withdrawable reward. Availability varies. Ends June 28th. Terms at dkng.co/audio. And welcome back to episode 404 of Canadians Connection Podcast on Rocket Sports Radio. Don't forget, hit subscribe if you haven't done so already. If you're on a platform that allows you to leave a review or a like or anything like that, we would so appreciate it if you did that. If you just took a second to do that, if you're enjoying the show, if you're enjoying the content we bring you each week. And hey, spread the word. It's, as we said, summertime can be a desert for Habs talk. So spread the word to your social media followers, hit the share button and share this episode. That way everyone can continue to chat about the Canadians all summer long. Also, don't forget to get us your answers for this week's Canadians Connection question of the week. Which Canadians prospects currently developing in Laval would you like to see crack the Habs opening night lineup? I know what my answer would be, but I'm not going to bias your thoughts, so I'm not going to say, but we can't wait to see what you think. Now, last week we asked you, what do you believe is the organization's biggest priority heading into next season? That's a big question, right? What do you believe is the organization's biggest priority in this offseason? We had some really great responses. I'm going to start over on YouTube. At Dark Matter Eclipse says, we talked last week about, you know, some people had this crazy notion that now that, you know, Jakub Dobish's trade value is probably so high, you should trade him, see what you can get for him. And they say, no, you don't. They won't trade Dobish unless it's absolutely necessary, which I don't think it is. At the same time, what his trade value would be intriguing to know. Fowler is next up, no question. The three in the NCAA are a chance out of three compared to one primo and that result. Also, goalie in Russia. Goalies are hard to predict. You're right. Look at Primo's NCAA performance compared to Dobish. Who'd have thought Dobish would be standing on his head in the NHL playoffs and Primo would be in the AHL? The thing is, the second line, the bottom six, and the defense gaps likely aren't going to be solved in one offseason. Hughes isn't even remotely likely to be so aggressive to use Dobish to do it. They went further than I expected, yet the gaps to fill are a little more extensive than I thought earlier on than what was exposed during the playoffs. It's more complicated than a 2C and a right-handed defenseman. Another thing, how are they going to manage a Fowler-Dobish duo? Fowler needs to play regularly, not just a back-to-back game rotation, which is, that's a good critical thinking question.
That's a really good point. Mm-hmm. And I would hope it would be something along the lines of 2/3, 1/3 split.
Yeah.
In favor of Dobish and at least to start. But no, Dark Matter Eclipse is correct that you can't just have Fowler sitting on the bench and then filling in for back to backs. That's not going to help his progression.
No. But overall, great. Great comments, great thoughtfulness.
For sure.
Thank you very much. Good kind of thought-stimulating points that you make there. It is a complicated thing, to be sure. And I do like how you I totally know what you mean by saying that the gaps that need to be filled are more extensive than you had thought earlier on in the season.
Yep.
Once you saw those gaps get totally exposed in the playoffs, they became painfully apparent. And yeah, it is much more complicated than just a second line center and a right-handed defenseman. So thank you very much.
The next comment on YouTube comes from at Frank Huber, 9912. Frank says, just dropping in to say that although this week's show was good as usual, last week's show was especially stimulating. It was thoughtful, perceptive, thorough, well done.
Thank you.
Well, we'll just say we'll thank you very much. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Frank goes on to say, so what are the Habs missing? Brain power. I'm not kidding. The irrational dogma that populates sports and crowds out reason is the stuff of Kafka. It has to start at the very top of the organization. I shall conclude by saying a word or two about Marty, as he seems to be catching some flack for his efforts in the Carolina series. Don't get me wrong. Despite my prior criticism, I actually like Marty. I think he's a man of integrity, is discreet, and is understanding. That's got to be worth something, always. But let's be honest. He would be instantly paralyzed and befuddled if I handed him a slide rule and asked him what day of the week it was. Sooner or later, that will need to be fixed if the Stanley Cup is ever to come home.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
Great way of putting it. Yeah.
Great illustration.
Great illustration. And yes, that's going to be a conundrum the Canadians are going to have to face head on at some point. Also on YouTube, at Habinations says, how can you be a contender if you only have one center? They gamed the system is all they did, masking the needs by overplaying its core. I'm not going to argue with that. So what's next? Well, if they played 29 minutes time on ice, I guess the answer is they'll play 34 minutes time on ice next season, so they have more career years. I was told rebuild. Those take longer than 4 years. Now the Habs are quote-unquote contenders without the depth in the organization to actually win a cup. So they're basically in the same position before the new guys took charge. Good enough to make the playoffs, but not the cup. I count cups, not making the playoffs.
Well, we just talked about
you.
Yeah, we just talked about how important depth is for Carolina.
And I also say that's, I think I would like to see a lot more fans get back to that sentiment of I count cups, not how many times. Well, at least they made the playoffs. Sorry, you should be wanting a Stanley Cup. It's been since 1993, people.
Yep. Let's turn to the Rocket Sports text line. You mentioned the number earlier, 5853 Rocket. Mm-hmm. This one comes from Tom in Mississauga. His text to the Rocket Sports text line says, hi, this is Tom from Mississauga. What do I think is the biggest priority for the Habs heading into next season? I will focus on defense. I believe a new coach for the defense is a huge need.
Yes.
Look at the overall play of each of the seven players. Who improved this season? Hudson for sure. Gooley, Dobson, Matheson played as expected. But did they improve? I think not. Carrier had a not-so-great season, but did bump it up in the playoffs. Struble and Jacki did not. Essentially, it was status quo for the defense this past season. This needs to change. We need a new coach for defense, someone who has a proven record of accomplishment, someone who can affect change so that the seven players on defense improve. And we heard Jeff Gorton say that every facet must improve, but particularly he said how exposed the defense was during the playoffs and in the Carolina series. He mentioned defense by name. Also, Hughes said that the coaching staff has to
be better.
Mm-hmm. They're expected to improve over the summer. So we talked about in the second segment the coaching vacancy in Laval, the Pascal Vincent replacement. Tom is talking about a Robidoux replacement. And let's not forget that when Alex Burrows left, he was never replaced. So they've always been one short on the bench. Mm-hmm. So is there, and this gets back to that brain power comment earlier, the Canadians need an influx of brain power. And could, you know, is there Are there as many as three vacancies on the coaching staff? Something for you to discuss and let us know what you think. But we know what Tom thinks. He thinks we need a new defense coach. And thanks for using our Rocket Sports text line to make your views known.
And that is the problem. Are there actually three coaching vacancies / issues to address and fill over the summer, which is the whole this. That's where the title of this week's show comes from. Back when I said this week's show is titled Success Creates a New Problem for the Montreal Canadiens. Now that they are succeeding, these are the kinds of problems that they're now going to be facing that they're going to have to come to terms with at some point. Phew. Did you think that you would have that much news to discuss in the first week of, okay, yeah, it's the offseason. No, there's always going to be something to discuss. And this was a blockbuster week for sure. We are so glad that you are here with us this week. Thank you for being here. Our next show is just a week away, Saturday, June 20th. We'll be back. Who knows what's going to get announced this week? Who knows what we'll have to talk about? We know we're going to be talking about draft prospects because it is right around the corner. So time to get into that thinking mode as well. All in all, we know it's going to be a great show. We thank you for being here with us. We look forward to spending the summer and the entire hockey season with you. And we'll see you next time on the next episode of the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadiens Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.